weekend, everyone. We're here live at Gilroy Radio with Listen to the Lawyer Saturdays. I hope everyone is having a wonderful Saturday today, and I thank everyone for calling in. It already looks like we have many people online, and today's show will be very informative, and we're going to discuss a number of different topics. Last week, we were talking about business entities and nonprofit organizations and the various types of taxes that each business entity is responsible for reporting. And we were talking about how a lot of businesses get into trouble because they don't fully understand what taxes they're required to report and withhold. And by the time they realize what's going on, they usually have a high tax liability and they get hit with penalties and interest. So I just want to quickly go over all of that information again for everyone who missed out on it last week. And just to reiterate it for the people who did hear it last week, because it's really important. And like I said, a lot of businesses end up faltering when they don't know what taxes they're responsible for, and there's so many different taxes that a business entity can be responsible for having to pay. Let's just go over the distinction between federal taxes and state taxes, because most businesses will be responsible for paying federal taxes and state taxes on the business income that they generate. And here in California, there's what they have called a franchise tax, which also the franchise tax is minimum $800 a year. And a lot of people don't realize that when they set up a corporation in the state of California, that's one of the costs of doing business out here. Even if your company doesn't make any money, you're still responsible for that $800 franchise tax every year. The difference in California is that they do give corporations a break on that $800 tax, whereas for LLCs, limited liability companies, and other business entities, they do have to pay that tax up front when they first register with the state. So just be aware that the business will be responsible not only for state income tax, but federal income tax as well on any profits that they make in the company. Then on the other end, employers, once you form a corporation or a business entity, that business becomes an employer once you start hiring employees to run your business and to run your operations. And the employer is usually responsible for a number of different taxes, and this is where a lot of people get caught up, because the employer is responsible for withholding certain taxes from their employees' paychecks and also making matching contributions to the tax debt for the employee. So let's just go over the taxes that the employer is responsible for withholding and contributing as an employer once you start hiring employees. The employer first is going to be responsible for withholding an employee's income taxes, and that is the tax that the federal income tax that the employee will end up having to pay or what is going to go down on the W-2 at the end of the year. And the employer has to withhold federal income tax from each employee's paycheck. So the employer has to set aside a certain amount each time they make a payment to an employee for the federal tax account. With this type of withholding, the employer is not responsible for a matching contribution, but they do have to make sure that they withhold the appropriate amount of income tax from the employee's wages. There's two other types of income tax as well. You have the Social Security taxes and also Medicare taxes. Now, these two types of taxes, the employer has to withhold these two taxes from the employee's check, and they also have to pay a matching contribution amount out of the corporation or the employer's own pocket. So when people set up a corporation or a business entity and start doing business, a lot of times they're not aware when they do their business plan or when they seek financing that they have to include these contributions as part of the total payment that they're going to have to be responsible for an employee. So whereas you think you're only paying an employee $20,000 a year, you have to also add into that amount the money that you're going to be required to contribute towards Social Security taxes and Medicare taxes when you are figuring out how much you're actually paying an employee in your business. So for Social Security taxes, The employer has to withhold Social Security taxes from the employee's wages and also make a matching contribution amount from the employer's end. And that's not the employee's money. That's money that's coming directly from the employer and out of the employer's pocket. They are also responsible for withholding and contributing Medicare taxes, and they have to withhold the Medicare tax from the employee's wages and also pay a matching contribution amount from the corporation. So I just want to make sure everybody understands that you need to take these amounts into consideration when you are setting up a business plan and seeking money for your company, because a lot of times people aren't aware of this, and then you end up getting hit with tax liabilities, interest, penalties, and everything else, and then it just gets out of control, and that's where a lot of businesses usually fail. There's also another tax that the employer is solely responsible for contributing to, and that is the federal unemployment taxes, or the FUTA tax. An employer must solely contribute to the employee's FUTA tax, which means that you're not withholding that tax from the employee's wages. You have to actually provide that tax amount each year to the federal FUTA account. So that's another tax on the federal level that an employer has to be sure that they include when they're making a determination about how much money they're going to need to run a business. And then that's when we also discussed employee or independent contractors. And then here's another pitfall where a lot of businesses get into trouble because they say, well, let me just get around all of this withholding and unemployment and all this so I don't have to worry about it. I'll just hire all independent contractors. And then the independent contractors just have to be responsible for their own tax reporting. Well, I've seen many cases where the Internal Revenue Service will come back and say that just because you deem this person an independent contractor does not automatically make that person an independent contractor. And, in fact, if you are exercising a certain amount of control over that employee's, how that employee does their job, what time they're supposed to be into work, what they're supposed to do while they're at work, then that person is actually deemed an employee. And the definition of an employee is anyone who performs services for you if you can control what will be done and how it will be done. So if the IRS makes a determination that one of your people who you were paying as an independent contractor is actually an employee, then you're going to have another set of problems, because then you're going to get hit with a lot of back taxes for not withholding that for the duration of the time that you were paying the person as an independent contractor, and you're also going to be hit with penalties and interest on that. So I'm going to take a little break, a music break for now, and I'm going to talk to some of the callers, and then when we come back, we'll take some questions, and we'll get into another topic that I've been eager to discuss with everyone. So we'll be back in a minute. Thank you. And we're back here live at Gilroy Radio, and I hate to cut Mozart off short, but I have a lot of callers who have some questions about these tax issues, so I'm going to bring some callers on the line and take your questions. Caller 310-673, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just trying to see why did they move the tax cutoff to the 18th instead of the 15th this year?
This year, I believe usually if the 15th falls on a Saturday or Sunday, they usually give you a couple of more days to file on the deadline. They extend the deadline to the next business day, which would be the 18th. I'm not sure if that's the case in this particular instance because I think the 15th actually falls on a Friday. I do know that the Obama administration had made delays on when people could file if they were itemizing deductions. So that might have had something to do with the reason that the date this year is the 18th instead of April. Are you referring to business taxes or individual taxes?
Business
tax. Right. Business taxes are normally due on the 15th of March of each year. So if you have a business, a corporation, or an LLC, you're usually required to file the taxes on March 15th of each year. But I wasn't aware that they extended that until March 18th, but we're already past that deadline. So, but usually if there's an extension on the date to file, it's because the 15th falls on a weekend or a holiday. Did that answer your question?
Thank you.
Okay, stay around on the line. I'm caller, and we'll have some more information about some other things in just a minute. Thank you for calling. Okay. Caller 561-441, you're on the air.
Okay, hi. I have a couple of questions, part A and part B, if that's possible. The first question is, the tax code is constantly increasing for whatever reason, and it's changing almost monthly, and no one truly understands it. And and my second question is, I know that you're also a licensed attorney here in Florida, and you have a master's in tax. So are you available, can a friend of mine put a retainer on you for your services? Because no one truly understands any of this. And my second question is there any help for small businesses out there? Because all the politicians are talking about small businesses being, the backbone of the growth of the economy of this country, but so it had to be some help for small businesses out there, and I'm not finding it.
Yes, those are some very good questions, Carr. To answer your one question, yes, I'm licensed in the state of California and the state of Florida, so I can definitely get on retainer with you down in the state of Florida. And actually, for tax purposes, for federal tax purposes, if it's a federal tax issue, I can actually represent people nationwide because tax and things like immigration are nationwide services that apply federal law. So anybody in the country I can give tax advice to on the federal level. With the state of Florida, I can definitely represent you down there as well. And now refresh my recollection about your other question. You said about why is it always changing and why is it so complicated?
It seems complicated. I mean, it's constantly changing.
Yes. I know with the federal taxes, each time a new administration comes into office, one of their first things on the agenda is to amend the tax code. And if anyone has seen the tax code, which I've had the unfortunate displeasure of having to dissect it and read it during tax school, if you see that, it's a huge, huge book. And it's even myself as an attorney, I'm still baffled by the tax code because it is a very complex, crazy document. And there's been a lot of people who have been trying to get the flat tax for everybody and just make it simple and straightforward because, this is our money. This is what you're trying to start a business. You're trying to do a business. You're trying to generate business. You're trying to hire employees. And then here comes the tax man and just really wipes you out. And it's just, like you said, they're saying that, we want to help small businesses. And Obama did institute a small business act to try to help small businesses get back into the swing of things with this economy being so bad. But like you said, the taxes are constantly changing, and people, you know, it's hard for attorneys just to even understand that what's required. So I can understand if a non-attorney or a non-accountant is looking at this and trying to figure it out. It is incredibly difficult, and that's why I do encourage people to retain the services of an attorney, or definitely retain the services of at least a bookkeeper, an accountant if you're going to really be doing a lot of business and having a lot of transactions. And then it's probably wise to have an attorney hire the accountant or the bookkeeper under the attorney, because then that keeps everything under the attorney work product. And so whereas, for instance, if your business gets subpoenaed and your accountant, if you just hired an accountant and the accountant gets subpoenaed, they have to turn over all your financial information to the courts or to whoever issued the subpoena. Whereas if the attorney has hired the accountant as part of providing services to you, then it's much, much harder for them to get to your financial records, because you have the attorney-client privilege and the attorney-client work product doctrine that would protect you in that kind of situation. So I do always encourage people to seek at least a bookkeeper. I think a lot of bookkeepers will do accounting services for, you know, keep track of your income and expenses, and it's important to try to do that right from the get-go when you start your business, because trying to catch up later is very difficult. I should take my own advice, and I should have probably gotten a bookkeeper at the very least to make sure they kept track of all my income and expenses, because once you start generating income for your business and trying to keep up with all this, it's impossible to try to be a business owner, run a business, do marketing, hiring and fire employees, and then keep up with all this tax reporting and requirements. So, yes, I would definitely be available to assist your company, and I would look forward to doing that. You had another question, too?
Yes. Is there, like, any help? They say that there is any help out there for small business owners, but where do we go to find that help?
Of course, my response is going to be to go to an attorney. But,
okay.
Yeah, for financial help. For financial help, I would strongly advise going to the Small Business Administration. It's a federally run program that is set in place to help small businesses prepare business plans, put them in touch with mentors, provide resources to them. I haven't personally actually followed through with meeting with a small business administrator, but I have heard very good reviews from them and that they are very helpful. So I don't know if you've tried that or if that's – I mean, they have a location in all major cities. You can also locate them at www.sba.gov. And then also on that site, there's a lot of information concerning minority-owned businesses and women-owned businesses where you can register as I think it's called a – I can't remember it off the top of my head what the program is, but there is a program out there that the SBA has information about where you can register as a minority-owned business or a female-owned business and get valuable resources, get grants, get get clients and customers through the federal government and do contracts with the federal government. And, I'm going to touch more about that in just a minute as far as getting contracts with the federal government. But did you have any other questions, Carl?
No, I want to try to stay in topic. There are other things that I want to ask you, but I can call back next week and ask.
Yeah, we're going to have all kind of topics, hopefully for a very long time, every Saturday from 4 to 5:30. So, and if you have questions, if you have ideas for what you would like me to address on the show, definitely let me know about that. And
definitely, because I want to try to understand the child support system, because it seems like the people that are doing it are trying to take care of their responsibilities. They are the ones that are being punished the most, and I mean it just behooves me. I don't understand it at all.
Right, and yes, I think actually for next Saturday, I probably will have a full show about that, because a lot of people are affected by that system, and I have clients that want to start a movement to try to get that system overhauled. So next week we will definitely address that topic. So if you have questions that you would like me to address about that Everybody else who's listening, yeah, email me. You can reach me at communitylawfirm@gmail.com or on Facebook, Atiria's Law Firm. My name is spelled A-T-Y-R-I-A and Law Firm. And I'm going to go to another break for now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about California's medical marijuana industry and that new emerging industry that I think everybody needs to get information about. So everybody who's on the online, stay on the air, and I'm going to go to a short music break, and we'll be back to take some more callers and talk about medical marijuana.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Yeah, hello to Doug, it's Fergie.
If you ain't got no money, take your broke ass home.
If you ain't got no money, take your broke ass home.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back here live at Gilroy Radio, and wow, it's a busy day. I have so many callers calling in, and I'm very excited to have everyone holding the line, and I'm going to bring caller 562-719. You're on the air.
Yeah, that's right, 562-719-949. This is Eric Mitchell, better known as AKA Big E, Security Executive.
Hey, hi, Eric.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, go ahead and tell everybody about your business. And
hey, like I said, 15 years is well-established, Anytime Limousine, located in Long Beach. Better yet, we used to be in Long Beach. We founded in Long Beach. Actually, we're in Bellflower, California now. Exit off of Artesia, or actually off of Bellflower Boulevard, Artesia. And like I said, come on down, get your quote. You got my number. You can give me an email at Eric Mitchell, ericmitchell, 007, like James Bond, at yahoo.com. Any questions, concerns, make your reservations. We have anything from a sedan to a party bus with the pole in it. So if you want to get right, if you want to have a good time on town and everything like that, show your friends a nice time coming in from town, loved ones, family members, whoever.
And let me just tell everybody that I was on one of those party buses, and you guys run a tight ship up there on the party buses. We had a really good time on Biggie's party bus. Are you also still doing security, Eric?
Doing security, specializing in executive protection. Like I said, I do all private functions. I do everything that's involving security as far as diplomatics. We do private functions, we do quinceañeras, we do private parties, we do everything. We do funerals if you have people out of town that's going through some things or whatever with people in town. Whatever you could think of that's involving protection, personal protection, we do that. And like I said, we have the best price in town. You need to give me a call and find out what that price is, that quote, because you cannot beat it in L.A. County, Ventura County, Riverside County, San Bernardino County, and thus far. But anyway, I just wanted to give a shout-out to the show. It seems like it's moving in the right direction. Want to wish you a lot of success from the Big E, one and only. And much love to you. And I look forward to seeing you in the future.
Okay, thank you. Everyone, this is Eric Mitchell of Big E Security, and he also owns the Limo Service, another black-owned business that I would encourage everyone to support. And thank you for calling, Eric. And it looks like we have another caller, 314-556. You're on the air. 314-556. Okay. I guess that person is just wanting to listen. But, feel free to just listen or call in with your questions. I did promise everyone that I was going to start talking about California's medical marijuana industry. There was just a CNN news report that was put out the other day where they were saying that the medical marijuana industry is already a $1.7 billion industry. That's billion, $1.7 billion on just medical marijuana, not to mention all marijuana, but just on the medical marijuana part, they're already generating $1.7 billion. And there's only provisions for medical marijuana in about 15 states. California, of course, was the lead state that first initiated the medical marijuana program back in 1996, and a lot of other states have followed suit. Most of the West Coast states have implemented medical marijuana programs, and I believe the state of Florida is now considering a medical marijuana program as well. And I just wanted to address this topic on the show because in light of the fact that this is a $1.7 billion industry from the legal side, from the medical marijuana side, there are still people who are getting cited and arrested and imprisoned for marijuana offenses, even if they have a valid doctor's recommendation. And I just wanted to talk to the callers about how what the medical marijuana program is and how people can stop getting cited and arrested for in the state of California for marijuana offenses. And let me just do a disclaimer. I'm only licensed in the states of Florida and California to practice state substantive law. So with this show, I can only address California law, even though there are 15 other states that have implemented medical marijuana programs and have those provisions on the table. I can only address California, and I am happy to say that California has one of the most liberal medical marijuana programs out there. However, they dispensaries are still getting raided, people are still getting cited and arrested, and people are still going to prison for simple marijuana offenses. Recently, I'm trying to figure out where to start here, but basically in the state of California, if you are a qualified patient, you can be in possession of marijuana, you can cultivate, transport, and even distribute marijuana to other patients, or if you're a primary caregiver, you are also provided those same protections. And unfortunately, however, I mean, out here in Los Angeles alone, there's probably more medical marijuana dispensaries than there are liquor stores. But then you have people who are in certain areas that are still getting arrested. And, I mean, in the stores, they have shelves and shelves of, you know, bagged up marijuana, bottled up marijuana for sale, for exchange. And then you have somebody that is in their car with a dime bag and they're getting tickets and arrested. And I just don't really understand how that all reconciles. But I do want to talk more in depth about that topic in a future show and just touch base with the callers about the medical marijuana program out here in California. Let me see if caller number 314-556 wanted to say something. 314-556, did you have a question? 314-556? Okay. Let me go take a break right now, and then we'll come back and talk more about California's medical marijuana laws. And I want you guys to all check out my good friend, Mr. Trey Love Gilroy, with his new release, I'ma Rock Her. You can find it on cdbaby.com/Trey Love, and we'll give you take a break and have everyone listen to his new CD, his new single.
LA, Vegas Connect, baby.
I'm a rocker.
I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker. I'm a
pay attention, baby. It's the LA Vegas Connect, you heard me? Hit works in the same minute. Kill Roy. Trey Love hot single dropping right now, y'all. I'ma rock her. Yeah. We gonna take this all the way to the bank, baby. This the one, baby. This the one. To all them ladies out there, I'm gonna do one at a time.
I'm gonna rock her.
Take it home, baby.
And again, everyone, that was Trey Love Gilroy with I'ma Rock Her. Trey Love is an actor, comedian, and rapper, hip-hop artist, and that was his most recent single, I'ma Rock Her. Again, you can find that at iTunes and at CD Baby, at cdbaby.com/Trey Love, and the song is I'ma Rock Her. And I'm going to go back to some callers because I have a caller on the air who wants to talk with me about the medical marijuana industry. Caller 561, you're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I would like to apologize for not introducing myself. I know Aterio. Her and I both went to Wake Forest University together.
Wake Forest, Demon Deacons.
Yeah. my question is, I am also owner of a small black business. You know, I am broke my back, so I had to think of another way to help support my family. And the things that I've seen going through that process caused me to create my own pain management and weight loss business, which, by the way, is doing very well, thank God. But the name of it is Optimal Health and Wellness Center. We're located at 2512 North Federal Highway in Derry Beach, Florida. And anybody listening in the area, our phone number is 561-450-6365. Call us anytime, day or night, for an appointment, and we'll be more than happy to take care of your medical needs. We also do cosmetic, injectables, Botox, fillers.
You guys do, but I need to come down there and get my Botox.
Well, okay.
Anybody is going to do it, I would trust you to do it. So I need to get down to Florida.
Look, I tell you what, since you're a fellow Demon Dick, you know what I'm saying, you can get the homegirl discount. All right.
Okay, that's what's up.
Okay. My next question, serious question though, is where is Florida at right now when it comes to medical marijuana? Are they in the process of voting or they're thinking about this? And also, that compared to California. Aterio, you know Florida. You live down here. I mean, someone can walk down the street right now and smoke and the cops will not bother you. So I can't help but believe that Florida will be just as liberal or even more liberal than the state of California is. Now, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, you guys have to deal with Northern Florida. That, you know, you got South Florida and you got Northern Florida. And unfortunately, out here in California, the North and the South are very different. But one thing they're very the same on is their liberal rights with the medical marijuana industry. And, you know, most people, I mean, California just had with these recent primaries where most of the states ended up switching back over to Republicans, California is the only state that has everybody elected in their whole governing committee as Democratic, from the Attorney General to the Governor to everybody. And I think Florida still has a primarily Republican rule down in Florida. And then, like I said, you have the different demographics in Northern Florida than you do in Southern Florida, where, you know, the people are more conservative up there. And, that's why I think Florida has taken much longer to implement any kind of programs, because they still have that conservative aspect up north, which is more like the South. And then you have Southern Florida, which is Miami. And, yeah, everybody is much more liberal there. So, yeah, if it was just South Florida, I would say that Florida would already have been on the bandwagon a long time ago. I do anticipate that Florida will get on the bandwagon very soon, because I believe Florida is still suffering very, very much from this recession. and the heavy foreclosures that hit Florida the same way they did California. And they'll see the profit potential in allowing a medical marijuana program, even though there's a lot of controversy going on out here right now about whether you should be taxing medicine. So I think, and then Florida also, too, a big drive in Florida, and the reason why they have introduced the bill onto the table, and without getting into the details of how a bill becomes law, there are a lot of procedures you have to go through to get it to that point. Out here in California, the voters voted to make it legal for medical purposes back in 1996 with Proposition 215, and it's better to have the people make that vote because then you have your rights more protected. But in Florida, I believe there's a senator or what, however they refer to their governing people there, who did introduce a bill to have it legalized in the state of Florida. And one of their main reasons for wanting to legalize it there is because they were saying like six people a day down there are dying off of drug overdoses on pain medicines and, you know, other kind of drugs. And that's why there's a big push now to legalize marijuana, because there is scientific evidence that marijuana does provide a high level of relief for pain and, you know, is effective in treating cancer patients and AIDS patients and, you know, glaucoma. Out here, California is more liberal as to how you can get a recommendation. Basically, the law is designed for, you can get a recommendation for any condition that, any serious condition that marijuana can treat, basically, I mean, without quoting the exact verbiage of the legislation out here. I'm not sure how Florida will word their provisions for medical marijuana. I would love to be on an advisory board to provide some guidance to the state of Florida if they do, in fact, start to want to implement a medical marijuana program. I've been well-versed in the laws out here, and I've been following this in detail for the past couple of years. So I would love to be able to sit on an advisory board in Florida, because, like you said, I was in Florida for about 8 years. I love Florida, and they're saying that they might have enough votes to pass it in 2012. They need 60%, I believe, and I think right now the polls are showing 57%. So it's highly possible that Florida will very soon implement a medical marijuana program. And
I don't mean to cut you off, but this is one thing that I'm truly concerns me. Like I say, as being a person, you know, that's going through the medical program right now and different medications, I know for a fact that medications is not taxed here in the state of Florida right now. Okay,
right.
So I'm curious to see how this is going to affect if this is passed, because the whole point of this is, what is it, to help people, you know, get off other more dangerous painkillers, or is it for the state to find another means of making revenue?
Well, you know, politics, of course, the only way to get them to really actually make something illegal is probably because they see the profit potential in it. And then when you have a news report come out to say that out of 15 states that have it legal, it's already a $1.7 billion industry, which is almost on par with Viagra sales, which are at $1.9 billion, and it's not even legal across the nation. Wow. I mean, that's huge. So, of course, they're going to probably have a profit motive in mind or some kind of financial incentive for making that. I mean, but there's so many ways that the states can make their money off of implementing the medical marijuana program. I mean, out here, even though there's so much I want to talk about, and we're going to have to probably do a whole other show on this, but the city of Long Beach, I mean, even though we have these medical marijuana programs in place, a lot of the cities and the county of Los Angeles have instituted ordinance bans, to prevent any kind of dispensaries or storefront collectives from, you know, offering medical marijuana to the patients of the public. There's only about two cities in the county of Los Angeles that actually allow dispensaries to function, and now they're trying to get very restrictive on who can actually open up a storefront. The city of Long Beach is charging like a $15,000 application fee, and they don't give it back to you if they deny your application. The city of Los Angeles is having a lottery system now, and I'm sure I don't even know how much they're charging for people to apply for the license, but they're going to make their money. I mean,
okay,
they're making
okay.
money off of the business tax license, the application process.
Right.
The doctors are making money. I know a doctor who makes, like, they're saying doctors are making, like, $1 million a year just doing recommendations because, and you got people lined up. So
wow.
the city is going to get their money. The state is going to get their money. I don't even know that they need to tax the medicine per se, but when they started this out here, I mean, a lot of people were willing to pay the tax because they were making so much money. They're like, sure, we'll, whatever.
Right.
And I think they proposed a $50 per ounce tax. But
okay.
right now,
That's fine. All right, a very good friend of mine. He lives in Colorado, and he actually legally grows it for the government.
Yes,
okay.
That's what I was going to talk about. Yeah.
All right, go ahead then. Go ahead.
I was just saying. I believe, and I need to double check this, but I believe that the Veterans Administration passed. Whatever they need to pass to allow members of the VA to receive medical marijuana in states where it's legal for medical purposes. And I was thinking, you know, if somebody is already growing, it would be wonderful to be able to get a federal government contract to grow for the VA facilities. And I was going to check into that more to see if that is a possibility already or if it's something that – because, you know, the federal government does already provide marijuana to, like, 13 people in this test group that they had, and they were providing marijuana every month to these test people. And obviously, I mean, I guess the study came out pretty positive because even the state of Washington, D.C. has the medical marijuana program, and that's a federal jurisdiction. But then again, here's the contradiction. You still have the federal government coming in and raiding dispensaries, even though the Obama administration said that they would not do that to dispensaries that are in compliance with state law. Two dispensaries
right.
just got raided in West Hollywood, and it seems like they're picking that back up again and that they've changed their policy on that. But it's very contradictory because it's like you just passed it in D.C., which is a federal jurisdiction, and then you're going to still – punish people who are trying to comply. They've registered, they put their name out there, they're doing everything by the book, and you're still, you know, going in and taking their property. A lot of times they're just going in, taking their property and their money and not even pressing charges. So, you know,
I mean,
it's a lot of political stuff going on, a lot of controversy going on, and a lot of contradictory
okay, well, then,
stuff.
Do this. Promise me this, Joe. I mean, please keep your eye on the state of Florida, but I'm pretty sure you are. And,
definitely.
And give your boy a heads up so I can get in on the ground level, please.
Definitely, I was waiting for this day when Florida finally decided to put it on the table, and you know I got a notice that they have done that. So they've gotten the process started. They're about 15 years behind the ball, but like I said, even in California where it's been legal for 15 years, there's still so much drama and so much controversy and so much contradictory stuff going on that it's hard to understand. Like, it's very confusing because you're like, wait, you legalized it, but then you have cities that are banning dispensaries from opening up. But then, I mean, there's no provision in California law to allow dispensaries to actually exist. But if they're providing a legal product for patients, they should be able to. Out here, I usually advise people if they're interested in getting their foot in the door is to set up a small private collective of patient growers because the law does provide for that, not in Proposition 215, but in Senate Bill 420, the medical marijuana program. People can come together as patients or primary caregivers and collectively grow for the collective as long as it's done in a nonprofit manner. Meaning that you can't make a profit from cultivating marijuana and exchanging it between the members, but if you are providing a primary caregiver service, you can be reimbursed for your reasonable expenses, and you can pay your officers and directors and employees a reasonable salary. So, I mean, there's so much, and definitely we're going to talk about this more next week. I'll also address the child support topic, or I might have to do that the following week because I think I'm going to need at least a couple of hours just to talk about all of the intricacies of what's going on with the medical marijuana industry. I just want more people to get informed about it because it is, right now at this point, it is a ground level kind of business that somebody can easily get into. once they learn how to grow, you know, plant a seed. But eventually it will end up being probably taken over by monopolies and, you know, the price will plummet and, you know, it, but it's going to be a while before that all happens. But I do want to encourage everybody to stay tuned, stay connected with me through Facebook, Ateria's Law Firm, or you can find me at communitylawfirm@gmail.com and just stay updated on what's going on because it is a developing industry and, you know, a lot of states are following suit. Those on the federal, at the federal level, to get marijuana reclassified to like a Schedule II or Schedule III drug, and then I mean, the possibilities are unlimited from there. So we are almost out of time, but I want to thank you so much, Samaj, for calling in, and I hope you'll call in next week because we should be co-hosts together because you really elicited some good questions, and it's much easier to just respond to questions than the free talk. So I appreciate you calling in and, you know, asking your questions. And I can't wait to get down to Florida soon to check out your business. And go ahead and tell everybody again the name of your business and where it's located and how they can get in touch with you there.
Okay. The name of my business is Optimal Health and Wellness Center. We specialize in pain and weight management. And we also do cosmetic injectables, Botox, and we do fillers. We're located at 2512 North Federal Highway. Our phone number there is 6563. You can call us anytime, day or night. There's a few requirements that you have to have just so we can be in line with the law. You have to have a Florida ID in order for us to see you as a patient. But please give us a call if you're ever in the area. Ateria, thank you so much. And, hey, can't wait to see you. Hopefully
yes,
in a couple of weeks.
All right. There you go. All right. Thank you so much to all my callers for calling in and listening. It's been another wonderful Listen to the Lawyer Saturdays. And stay tuned next week at 4 o'clock. We'll pick up this topic some more and also discuss other issues. So every Saturday at 4 o'clock, we'll be here, Gilroy Radio. And everyone have a wonderful rest of the weekend.
Really going on, drippy back up in this thing, I'm ready, what's happening, gone for surgery but now I'm back again, I'm about my paper like a fraction win, World Series attitude, champagne bottle life, nothing ever changes so tonight is like tomorrow night, I will have a model wife, yo is as hot as ice, every time you see me I look like I hit the lotto twice,
Drake you got him right,
yeah I got him bun, I love myself cause I swear that life is just not as fun. Neek got the wheel, Hush got a goon. See, they got my credit cards and a lot of ones. Yeah, I'm in the city of the purple sprite. Someone tell Malaya I'm on fire, she should work tonight. Call up King of Diamonds and tell China it'd be worth the flight. I'll be at my table stacking dollars to the perfect height. Work something, twerk something basic. She just trying to make it, so she right here getting naked. I don't judge her, I don't judge her, but I could never love her, cause to her I'm just a rapper, and soon she'll have met another. That's why me and Lil Jazz out the fast. Can you keep up? I'm just feeling sorry for whoever got a sweep up. Yeah, bills everywhere, trill everything, and Drake just stand for do right and kill everything. I love Nicki Minaj, I told her I'd admit it. I hope one day we get married just to say we did it. And girl, I'm serious, I'm with it. If you with it, cause your verses turn me on and your pants are mighty fitted.
Oh, damn. I think you caught me in a moment like I catch them stealing flows, cause I swear I never loaned it. And life ain't a rehearsal, the camera's always rolling. So come and get a portion of this money that we blowing, cause it's on. Yeah, girl, it's on. You know what it is when I finally make it home. I just hope that you miss me a little when I'm gone. Yeah, I hope that you miss me a little when I'm gone. Can you just tell me what you down for? Anything you down for? I know things have changed. No, I used to be around more, but you should
miss me a little when I'm gone. I just hope that you miss me a little when I'm gone.
Ooh, my dope guys, goddamn. Kicking bitches out the condo like Pam. Getting money every day, I'm a groundhog. About to scoop your girl up like a ground ball. I walk light, so I don't piss the ground off. Man, I swim, I do it till they scoop the brown off. That's nasty. Yes, I am wheezy, but I ain't asthmatic. James buying cologne, honey, I put on. Make them run and tell their friends like a marathon. Voice baritone, haters carry on. Beat the up. Call me Larry Holmes, Young Money, Jerry Sloan. I turn every stone. When she to me, that's how she learned every song. To the women I condone, better write me when I'm gone. No, I'm not that thuggish, not that druggish, but I do pack bones. I'm a love machine, and I won't work for nobody but you. It's only me and her, cause the Bugatti a coupe. It's blood gang slime, but I pile it with Snoop. I ain't lying, you don't need signs of proof. Turn you to a vegetable, like you lying in soup. And when I'm in the booth, the line is loose. Man, I got so many styles, I am a group. Damn, I be gone till November. And I ain't tripping, I know Drizzy gon' kill him. I'm sticking to the script like lint on denim. I'ma see it if the rules ain't bent, don't bend them. Real, real talking, shut the up, ho. Gotta do it one time for Haiti. What up, dope? We the F, baby, and the F is for front, though. Cause that's where I bring it. Sue if you bang it, yeah, girl, it's on. You know what it is when I finally make it home. I just hope that you miss me a little when I'm gone. Yeah, I hope that you miss me a little when I'm gone. Can you just tell me what you down for? Anything you down for?